March Madness fix.
Puck, baseline, up for the shot, dive, off the glass, the game is over.
Gonzaga, the slipper still fits.
It's over, Michigan has won a national championship.
I got a feeling.
Holy mackerel, holy mackerel.
Tonight's gonna be a good night.
The shot, yes,
it's the shot by Tate George, wins it.
Williams could tie it with a three. He does.
Smart takes the shot.
Oh, Indiana wins the championship.
So now Valpo's going to have to go the length of the court. It's to Jenkins, to Drew for the win.
Gone. Oh, Drew did it. Valpo has won the game. A miracle.
Wittenberg. Oh, it's a long way.
Pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Yes! Kamara gets it ahead. Cooper out in front of everybody. Gets it to Katie Douglas. Her shot is up. No good. And the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame have won the national championship.
Big time Huggins.
Good evening, everyone. Budweiser's weekday sports beat from 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader, along with Eric Hansen, the Fighting Irish football insider for the South Bend Tribune. I'm WSBT radio sports director Darren Pritchett, and we welcome you to our program that is brought to you, as always, by our longtime friends at Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. Coming up on the program in a couple of moments, we'll be joined by Jordan Cornett, former Irish basketball player and now a media mogul. He is all over the place, so we'll talk to Jordan about the Irish and the NCAA tournament. Coming up in just a moment, bottom of this hour, a little bit more on NFL free agency. We touched on a lot of this yesterday. You'll hear from Ryan Ayers. He was the post-game interviewee on the Notre Dame Radio Network last night. After the Irish beat Hampton 84-63 in NIT play, the My 5 question of the day is an audio daily double. Today's question is the five storylines for Saturday's Big Ten Hockey Tournament title game between Notre Dame and Ohio State, and we will use audio to pass along those storylines. Not Eric or I, it's voices of people that really matter in this conversation. Next hour, you will hear from Bonzi Colson. And Sean Stiers, the co-host of the 6 o'clock hour, was at the NIT game last night. Got some Bonzi Colson post-game audio, including Bonzi talking about playing in the NIT. There's a player out at USC that decided to skip the NIT to focus on the NBA draft. Bonzi's playing. He'll explain why coming up. Also, Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College basketball insider. He will join us during the 6 o'clock hour to talk Notre Dame, ACC team to watch. And what about those Big Ten teams? Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan. We touched on those three with Gary, and you'll hear his answers coming up. I don't mean to leave out Ohio State because we have an alum in our room here. We only had 10 minutes to talk to him, and I'm just not sure Ohio State will have that big push, although Dan Dockage, whose son is on that team, he's got Ohio State cutting down the nets in San Antonio.
He has them winning the whole thing?
Yes.
Wow.
He has Michigan State and Purdue in the Final Four.
I think the Jackrabbits are going to give them a tough time, and I think Zaga's going to beat them. They played each other early in the year, and Gonzaga really had their way with them. That was before Ohio State kind of got their feet under them, but I like the Zags there out in Boise.
Are you taking the 12 over 5 South Dakota State over the Ohio State University?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't in that game. I did do some 12 fives, though. I did a couple 12 fives.
Okay, so you're standing behind your Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'll tell you that the one that's the hardest for me to pick in the whole bracket was Miami, what to do with Miami, Florida. Because everybody's picking Loyola over them.
I love them.
You love them or you love Miami?
I love Loyola. They have a bunch of players that all won big at the high school level. They're athletic. I love Valley teams. I always ride the Valley teams. So yeah, I've got Loyola Chicago beating them.
I ended up doing that, but I like Miami in road games.
We're going to talk to Jordan Cornett right now, an old friend of the program. My goodness, Notre Dame basketball player, member of the Notre Dame Radio Basketball Network, and now he's become such a media mogul. I'm probably going to leave something out, Jordan. I've seen you on NBC Sports Network, CBS Sports, ESPN 1000. Is there anything I'm leaving out? I mean, I'm sure your W-2s have more than that.
I got FS1, and I got my morning show here in Chicago. But outside of that, you covered it all.
Beautiful. Good to hear from you. How are you?
DP, Eric, I'm doing well, guys. It's been a while. How's everybody?
We are doing terrific, and congratulations on all your success. Love hearing you talking basketball across the country. And I've heard you talk about this subject, but in case there's a group of fans who haven't heard you talk about this, could you just offer a thought or two on your thoughts of your alma mater being team number 69 and just missing out of the NCAA tournament?
Well, do you guys have like a drop button so if I start cursing, and jump out on me here? We're good to answer honestly here how I truly feel. It's a travesty, guys. I mean, it's two different teams. Bonzi Colson, preseason All-American, who's good for 20-10 the minute he steps on the floor, to 14-5 team. And he disappears for, what, 15 games? They go, what, 6-9? 0-4 with him and Maddie out in some of those games. But one of the games that they did win without Maddie Farrell and Bonzi Colson was up in Syracuse. And what they did do is win that game on Syracuse's floor, but yet Syracuse is into this tournament. I really don't understand that. Bonzi came back, looked like the Bonzi he was before he got hurt, you know, played great in Charlottesville. They knock off, well, not knock off, you can never use that term talking about beat Pittsburgh this year, but they beat Pittsburgh. Then they knock off Virginia Tech, and I thought they did enough to get in. I was really hurt by it, if you can't tell.
I can tell.
Jordan, I'm curious. I think if I remember right, you played in a couple of NCAAs and a couple of NITs. And I
yeah,
wonder.
Yeah, I've played in a couple NCAAs, and those NITs definitely stayed with me.
Okay, what as a player going into the NIT, what was kind of your thought of, after having played in a couple NCAAs? Because that's kind of the same shoes Bonzi and Matt Farrell are in. And then, is there value to playing in the NIT?
Yeah, there. You know, and there's value in it for the young guys. There's values in it for guys like Mooney to grow. Younger guys are guys that I immediately identify with. It's absolutely awful. Worse than a visit to the dentist for a root canal for a guy like Bonzi or Maddie or Austin, who's a 5-year guy, or Marty, Big Marty, or Matt Gregory. Like, that's the hardest thing that you'll deal with on a sports level in terms of, you know, it's just awful. It never leaves you. But life goes on. I mean, then you suffer real heartbreak in life. And let me tell you, there's things that are a lot worse. Yeah. But in that moment, that's the toughest thing those guys have to deal with. And they got to sack up, go out there and play. And I feel for them. And I got to tell you guys, I don't want to get too far off topic here, but I feel like talking to you guys in South Bend, it's worth mentioning this. But, you know, I tweeted out the other day that, you know, I feel bad for Matty Farrell. I feel bad for Bonzi Colson that they have to go out this way after great careers. And I tweeted that out, and I didn't pay much attention to it. And then I got a message from Martinez Gebin in my direct message, and he said, "Hey, man, Jordan, it was really respectful how he hit me up and said, you know, it's a whole team of seniors here that are let down. It's not just those two guys. I gave my heart to this place." And I felt so bad because in a miscommunication of sending a tweet out, I left off the fact that this guy gave his heart to that place. And this is a guy in Martinez Gebin who went from a junior being a role player to committing to the process and being one of the toughest interior guys in the conference. I mean, he averaged 11-8 and committed to the game and gave his heart to that place and kept the boat afloat when Bonzi was out and really stepped up his play. So to answer really long, and you guys knew I was going to go long probably on something, but I really, really respect the man that a guy like Martinez Gebin has become. Reach out to me and voice, like, I put everything into this too, and so did Matt and so did Austin. But to see that hurt, like, when you give it all, and you can't go back and do it all over again, it hurts. And I really respect Martinez for who he became, but also for reaching out to me. And right. I was absolutely wrong. So I did want to kind of mention that.
Well, Jordan Cordett is our guest here on WSBT Radio. And Jordan, I respect those guys that they're playing in this NIT, the fact that Mike Bray wants them to be in it. I respect that. Here's been my thought. I hate to see this senior class play in this NIT because they went to two Elite Eights. They won an ACC championship, a Maui Classic. Their resume is so long and beautiful. It's just, to me, this isn't the way it should end. And I know Tom Noy told us the story two nights ago that you threw your NIT watch in the wastebasket after getting that gift.
Oh, are you kidding me? I threw that thing out the minute I got it. That's no disrespect to that tournament. That's no disrespect
yes,
to the
it
who's playing in it right now. It's a disrespect. Yeah, okay. You know what? What am I talking about? It's a complete disrespect to the tournament. I can't even lie about it. It's absolutely what it is. Those guys don't want to be playing in that thing. I mean, let's be honest. They don't deserve to be playing in that thing. Yeah. The one seed that you don't want to have, I'll tell you, it's the worst one seed in the history of the one going next to a name. Is the one seed in the NIT. Because that means you were the very last team to not get a chance to be in the tournament. And because Davidson, a Rhode Island team, couldn't close out Davidson, that the committee thinks that's the spot that we should lose over a Syracuse, who they beat, who they have beaten, over an Arizona State team, who they would beat, over some of these other teams like Oklahoma, who Notre Dame would beat. It's hard. It's really, really hard.
Yep. Well, Jordan, I think there's a really cool legacy that Bonzi, Martinez, Austin, Matt, I don't want to leave anybody out here, but the seniors left because Notre Dame basketball is cool at this moment. They're getting great recruits. The announcers on TV love them. It looks like the future is really bright for next year. They have the transfer from Connecticut who's going to be eligible. I don't know if you've had a chance to take a peek at him play, but I'm curious your thoughts of what next year might look like for this team.
Well, yeah, I worry about the big fella because he has a chance to beat my shot block record, and you know that's the only thing I hold on to, guys. So that's like the biggest thing going for next season, obviously. But no, in all seriousness, this team's going to be really good. I mean, come on, they don't have back-to-back bad seasons. You know, the last time that misfortune hit this team in this way in the ACC was the first year in it when Jaren was removed from school with academic issue for 1 year and then comes back that next year. What happened? I mean, they were terrible that one season, but they got right back in the groove the next. And this team this year was far from terrible. This is a very good team. So, yeah, they lose a lot in this senior class, four guys who played heavy minutes and contributed a lot, and a walk-on who made this team better every day in practice. But I think what you're seeing is guys elevate their roles, and I am curious to see Rex Pfluger as a senior. I am curious to see a few of those other guys get older and improve and see what the team can be, but I think they'll be dangerous.
Jordan Cornette, which ACC team are you hanging your hat on to make that big run in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, so we're going to talk about this thing, huh?
Just a little.
In the ACC, I think Duke is a Sweet 16 team. And outside of that, I don't have any ACC getting to the Elite Eight. I don't see much action coming out of the ACC this year.
I don't either.
See a lot of early exits.
Interesting. And since we're in the Midwest, the Big Ten, there's a lot of Purdue fans around here, Jordan, hoping this is the year they get to the Final Four for the first time since 1979. Boy, they had that long winning streak, and since that winning streak, they've been a little uneven, up and down, got to the Big Ten title game. With the Boilermakers, the way they play defense, I feel like they have a chance, but do you think this is the year they have enough to get to the Final Four?
I think it's going to be one of the best games in the tournament, DP, when Purdue plays Villanova.
Oh, yes.
I truly do. I think that's going to be one of the best games, and you and Eric tell me if I'm wrong, but that one, I have Kansas and Michigan State as another Elite Eight matchup. I think Arizona-Kentucky is an early round game. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot of great ones. Purdue has every opportunity to get to San Antonio. I'm not saying it's a lock that they get to Villanova, but if they did get to Villanova, I don't think it's a lock that Villanova wins. I think this Purdue team, with how well they're run at the point guard spot, with Carson Edwards, along with the way that Vince scores it and the size down low, it's a very good team.
Mm. Jordan, I'm curious about the SEC. They put a lot of teams in this year. And when I went back and looked at non-conference, Texas A&M was really the team that got most of their kind of marquee out-of-conference wins. A lot of the other teams that were finished ahead of the standings didn't have those kind of wins, and I'm curious what you think might be the dangerous teams, what their staying power as a conference might be.
Just the general all conferences, or especially the SEC?
SEC, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Focusing on that SEC, you know, it's interesting because I think Tennessee, I have Tennessee going to the Elite Eight.
That's the one team I like from that conference.
Yeah, I mean, they really guard you, Eric. They can really dictate a game defensively with their physicality, and their guards have been playing better, and those guards have been knocking down the triple at an impressive rate down the stretch. And for that, I think Tennessee could move kind of far in this. Kentucky, if they weren't playing the best player alive right now, it feels like, in DeAndre Ayton in that second round, Kentucky is an incredibly dangerous team. And I think they're one of the hottest teams in college basketball at this moment in time because how well they defend, but also the fact that those guys started making shots out of nowhere. Now they can score in a half court, something they've really struggled to do. But as good as they are defensively, as long and as much as they like to run with that athleticism, Kentucky's scary. That Kentucky-Arizona game is going to be a fun one second day.
My final question for you, Jordan, we always have to ask you about those Butler Bulldogs.
Oh, come on, man. I wish I could pick them as the national champion. You heard me allude to Purdue and how far Purdue's going to go. And I'm telling you, it's going to be hard for me to go to Indy this Friday, and I'll tell you why here in a second what I'm going for. But it's going to be hard to go down to Indy on Friday because I got Purdue beating Butler. They matched up earlier this year. Butler looked just inferior to this Purdue team. They're so big. I think the size becomes a factor for Butler. But really quick, this Friday is the Joel Cornette Foundation event down at Scotty's Doghouse in remembrance of my brother who passed away a year and a half ago. We do it's the first inaugural event for his foundation in his name. And it's at a bar right next to Hinkle Fieldhouse in India. We're doing a tournament watch all day on Friday. So if anybody listening would want to come on down to Indy and hang out with us at Scotty's Doghouse on Butler's campus, we'll be watching games all day. There's a really cool raffle. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Outstanding. So that's Friday. So folks, take note of that.
I'm off Friday.
Yeah,
maybe I'll drive down.
There you go.
Hey, come on down, man. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, my last question for you. Is there a team seeded 11th or lower that you think could get to the Sweet 16? Is there somebody you like in that mix?
Well, I don't like that they're becoming a sexy pick right now because I've been on them all season long. My girlfriend does sideline reporting. She did a few of their games. It's that New Mexico State team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a team that could go to the Sweet 16. I have them going to the Sweet 16.
I do too.
I think they're going to give Kansas... I think they're going to give Kansas a run for their money, too. I really like that team. They've got size. They really guard. They can slow you down, but they can get out and run. They got a 5'9 point guard who's disruptive. I think that's a dangerous team.
Jordan, I got to tell you, you're becoming so famous now with all these college basketball jobs. I'm going to be able to tell my grandkids I did one Notre Dame basketball game with this Cornette guy. And you know what? Before they put us together for that one game where I filled in for Jack, they hadn't been to the Elite Eight. Since we did that game, they've been to two. Do you think it's just coincidence?
I think it's coincidence. I appreciate all the love, although you know me. You'll just remember me for that bad jump shot I had for 4 years.
No.
Come on, what did that one game end up in, though, DP? It ended up in some hardware for you, my friend.
It sure did, and you yelled, got it, as loud as you could on the last three-pointer of that game, which I'll never, ever forget. And, hey, I know you're extremely busy. I really appreciate you taking a couple of times to talk to us here in South Bend. Greatly appreciate it. Let me tell you, you sound great, all the things you're doing right now.
And I want to see you on the
DP
Food
Eric,
Network.
I really appreciate it. Hey, now you're talking. That's where I'd love to be. Are you kidding me?
All right.
You're the best. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. Greatly appreciate it. Have fun in the tournament.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Our good friend Jordan Cornette, all-time leading shot blocker in Notre Dame history, Notre Dame Radio Network, NBC Sports Network, FS1, CBS Sports, ESPN 1000. You can't miss him.
I feel better about my bracket now, after talking to him.
I know. He said a lot of things that line up in my bracket, too.
You got like a spreadsheet there.
Well, no. We have a WSBT radio challenge that's going on.
Uh-huh.
And I printed it out, but it prints out in two sheets, so I just taped them together.
Okay.
So that's why I have an extra large bracket. So do you have your bracket handy, or do you know who you have in the Final Four?
I haven't finished it yet, and I don't have my Final Four done.
Okay.
I was wrestling with what I think of Villanova and Virginia, and a little bit Purdue, too. But the Miami-Loyola game was my hardest one, and I ended up going with Loyola.
Well, so. I am upfront and honest, being a Missouri Valley Conference Big Ten guy. I oftentimes, when in doubt, I go that direction. Now, I always push my Valley teams forward, and that's worked out pretty well through the years. Northern Iowa is a prime example.
Who is the Valley team this year?
Loyola Chicago.
Oh, okay.
The Ramblers.
Okay, I didn't realize they were in the Valley.
Yeah, they have been. And Valpo's now, which is strange. Valpo is last in the Valley.
That's unheard of. But that's a different conference for them. The conference realignment I got lost on. I know. Wichita State goes from being a 10 when they're the Valley team to a 4 when they're in the American Athletic Conference.
Pretty smart.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, as a Valley guy, I miss Wichita State, but it's opened up some opportunities for some other Valley teams now to get to the NCAA tournament. I'll just offer my sample again. This is what I have. Don't go by it. But in the South, in the Elite Eight, I've got Arizona beating Cincinnati.
Okay.
In the West, Xavier losing to Michigan. In the East, I have Villanova taking down Purdue. And in the Midwest, Michigan State over Kansas. And in the national semifinals, it is going to be Arizona beating Michigan, Michigan State over Villanova, and Tom Izzo cuts down the nets, baby, for the second time in his coaching tenure in East Lansing. And I have two double-digit seeds going to the Sweet 16, New Mexico State, and I do have Loyola Chicago upsetting Tennessee to get to the Sweet 16. Loyola has some good basketball history back in the day.
Yeah, they do. They do. That's interesting. That 10-7 games are tough to pick. The 9-8s are tough to pick. In our pool, those are very valuable games. You get a lot of points for those games. They're not all games aren't equal in the first round.
The analytics show, this might be a little surprising, the 7 normally beats the 10. You would think it's kind of a toss-up, but more times than not, 7 beats 10.
I like a lot of the 10s this year.
I do, too. I like Providence.
I like Butler, Providence. I like Texas and the other 7.
Oklahoma.
I actually picked Oklahoma, even though I didn't think they should get in the tournament.
You know what? I think Trey Young getting outside of the Big 12 may help Oklahoma. They know how to play him. Rhode Island is only going to have seen him on tape, and there may be an adjustment period. But it's just hard to imagine Oklahoma hasn't won a game away from home this year.
Did you watch any of the St. Bonaventure UCLA game?
I did not.
Well, UCLA self-destructed, I thought. Their guard, Halliday, he had like 2 or 3 offensive fouls late in the game. He should have had 3. I think he got 2. But those St. Bonnie guards, they were tough. They could press and they could do some things.
Am I allowed to give my opinion? I'm glad UCLA lost.
You can do that. He can do that.
Just because of their coach, that's the only reason. All right, 5:29 is our time. Eric and Darren with you. Coming up next, we'll talk a little football. Also, Notre Dame basketball takes down Hampton. You'll hear from assistant coach Ryan Ayers, on the victory. And still to come next hour, Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider. His thoughts on Notre Dame missing the NCAA tournament. Did he agree? He'll answer that question coming up as Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat presented by Budweiser continues on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. It is 5:33 on your home of the Fighting Irish and the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. We are done at 6:30 tonight. We have to get out of the way for the first 4 action from Dayton at 6:40, North Carolina Central versus Texas Southern. And then 9:10, a game that leaves all of us with a little bit of a sour taste in our mouth around these parts. Syracuse taking on Arizona State in the battle of 11 seeds, and of course, Syracuse team number 68 in the field this year. I don't know who I'm rooting for in that.
Well, you know what's funny about that is, Darren, I'm not really hot on Florida as the 6, so I could see the winner of this game beating Florida.
And who went down to Gainesville earlier this year in the non-conference season and stunned the Gators? It would be
SIU Edwardsville.
I will never have my alma mater in the NCAA tournament. I have come to that conclusion. We will never, ever, ever, ever win the Ohio Valley. Despite being so close to St. Louis, you think we'd be able to get some guys. I was there when we were Division II, and just, it's never going to happen. I just want to see it once. It's not going to happen. No, the team, I had all that momentum built up, and then you did that. Did you see one of our more famous alums passed away earlier this week?
SIU Edwardsville?
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
Ken Flack. Remember Flack and Seguso, the Davis Cup tennis team?
Okay.
Oh, you don't remember them?
No.
Okay. We were going to go Division I many moons ago, but apparently they didn't go to class while they were in school, and that kind of halted our Division I idea in the early 80s, but now we are.
Interrupted your thought about who went down to beat Gainesville.
I had this all built up. Who went down to Gainesville and beat the Gators during the non-conference season? It would be the Missouri Valley champion, Loyola Chicago.
There you have it.
That's why they're going to take down Tennessee.
Okay, Rocky Top.
Taking down Rocky Top, we'll see. Okay, where was I going? We got on this track, and now I've lost my train of thought what direction we were going to go here.
Oh, I think you wanted to go to NFL free agents.
I was going to say Syracuse and Arizona State tonight at 9:10, okay. Yeah, WSBT Radio. And we do not have shows Thursday and Friday because we have all the NCAA tournament action on WSBT Radio. So Eric, Sean, and I will be just watching the games with you, and then we'll talk about everything on Monday, and we'll start spring football talk once again on Monday. I promise.
Lots going on next week with football.
I know. And by the way, Eric had a chat today, IndyInsider.com, if you'd like to read the transcript. We have not had the chance to get to those questions, and I was going to do it tomorrow. Then I'm like, well, we're kind of
not on the air.
Yeah, so we can't do it tomorrow. That's the way it goes.
We'll just do it on the telephone.
All right, we'll just do that. All right, just real quick, Chicago Bears, everything we expected to happen happened today. Free agency started just a little bit ago. The Bears have signed wide receiver Allen Robinson of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a guy that can catch 70, 80 balls for you. Outstanding receiver for Jacksonville. Only was on the field for 3 plays last year. Had a knee injury in week 1. He's locked up. They've also signed Taylor Gabriel, the speedy wide receiver from the Atlanta Falcons. 36 catches, 178 yards. That's your Falcons.
Okay.
He's a handy guy to have around. Add a little speed to that wide receiving core. And the Bears also signed tight end Trey Burton out of Florida via the Philadelphia Eagles. So those three are locked in. And I'm not sure if this is official since we have gone on the air. I'm assuming so. If not, we're told it's going to happen. Chase Daniel is going to be Mitchell Trubisky's backup in Chicago. 2 years, $10 million. He's 31 years old, 2 starts, and 8 NFL seasons. Most of his career spent in New Orleans backing up Drew Brees. Prince Amukamara, 3 years, $27 million to stay in Chicago to handle one of the cornerback spots, along with Kyle Fuller, who got the transition tag, linebacker Sam Acho, also returning to the Chicago Bears, and kicker Cody Parkey with Miami last year, 21 of 23 field goals. He is now a Chicago Bear, 26 years old, out of Auburn University. So that's what's happening with the Chicago Bears, actually quite a bit right now. But as of right now, not a whole lot happening with the Indianapolis Colts. And I know nothing had happened right before we went on the air, and it looks like I thought maybe they had signed someone, but I don't believe so. So the Colts, who are going to be on WSBT Radio this fall, kind of just watching right now all the things happening in the National Football League. All right, 538 and 96.1 WSBT. And what I think the great thing about free agency, Eric, once we get by 2-3 days of free agency, when all the big name free agents have signed, I know Ndamukong Suh is being released by Miami, so he's a free agent. He'll be out there. The Honey Badger released by the Arizona Cardinals today, so there's still some big names. But all these mock drafts are going to look a whole lot different probably in 2 weeks. We'll have a better sense of what teams are now changing their needs by what they accomplished in free agency. And I know the Browns signed Carlos Hyde of the 49ers to play running back, but that doesn't mean they're not going to take Saquon Barkley. That's just possibly a depth piece. So I would have to think Quentin Nelson is still heavily in play to be a top 10 pick. As a Bronco fan, I'd love to have him at 5. They got Case Keenum at quarterback, but it sure sounds like Denver's in love with Baker Mayfield. They had their entire staff down in Norman today checking out the Oklahoma Pro Day featuring Baker Mayfield. And from a Colt perspective, and I know we'll have more time to talk about this, but the Colts are sitting at 3. Chubb of NC State, the defensive end, the premier pass rusher in this draft, probably will be there for the Colts at 3, but with all the quarterbacks that are available, that is going to be prime real estate. If the Colts wouldn't mind dropping back, they could acquire some capital more than likely for the future, and it would appear the Colts need a few parts before they're back to where they want to be in the chase for the AFC South and the AFC crown. So something to keep in mind with Indianapolis. They are in perfect position with 4 or 5 quarterbacks in demand to sit at number 3, not needing a quarterback. It's a pretty good spot to be for Indianapolis.
And the Colts did they haven't signed him, but they agreed to terms on Denico Autry from Oakland, an edge pass rusher. That wouldn't change whether they would take Bradley Chubb, but that gives them somebody that I would expect would be more than a rotation guy for the Colts.
3 years, $17 million to bring Autry from Oakland to Indianapolis. Thank you very much for that.
No problem.
Irish basketball team, they won their NIT opener last night, 84-63 over Hampton. Las Vegas just kills me. You know what the spread was for this game? 22. And Irish win by 21. It's unbelievable. I would love to know how they do it. I would love to know. It's amazing. So the Irish pick up the victory over Hampton, and they really took control of the game in the third quarter, outscoring the Pirates 20-9. Martinus Gebben, 18 points in the ballgame. Bonzi Colson, 14 points and 12 rebounds. The Irish advance to the second round of the NIT, which will be Saturday at noon. You can hear that game on WSBT Radio, so that will slow our NCAA tournament coverage. We'll get to the tournament after the Irish take on either Penn State or Temple Saturday at noon here on 96.1 WSBT. And last night on the Notre Dame Radio Network, heard on WSBT Radio, the special guest was Ryan Ayers, former Irish basketball player and Notre Dame assistant coach.
Well, I liked our defensive pursuit to the ball. We really talked about really jamming up the lane and letting these guys and having these guys shoot outside jump shots and challenge them. I really thought, we talk about getting 3 stops in a row and kills, and I know we really tried to do that. And against a team like this, really trying to push the pace and get a lot of shots, we were able to respond with some defensive stops at key times.
I mean, you experienced this twice in your career, and you really don't know. I've been to a bunch of the 11 Notre Dame's been in all time, and you never really know until the team takes the floor if they're totally committed, depending on the scenario. Sometimes it's been a bad year. This has been an inspirational year, and depending on who you talk to, you either didn't do enough to get in, or you got hardwared, because I can't say the other on a family radio show. But it was very clear. Well, I was here at practice Sunday night, so I knew they were in the locker room for 30 minutes talking about it. It was very clear that they committed to playing.
No, absolutely. I mean, we have great seniors and great leaders. They get a chance to play again. They enjoy being around each other, and I think that it's a bigger picture, playing for the university, playing for each other, and not going out and ending their season in a loss, obviously in the ACC tournament, or just being discouraged for not getting in the NCAA tournament. Myself and Zach have been in this situation before, and it really salvaged our season by getting back to New York. That's the goal of this team as well.
What's the mindset going into these late night games? Is it hard to keep these kids fired up or jazzed up, or are they just ready to go at all times?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a challenge because they are guys who want to get and play. That's a good thing about Saturday. We play at 12 o'clock. And we'll be at high noon playing against an ACC type opponent in Penn State or Temple. But yeah, during this long day, that's why we had shoot around this morning, to get him out of bed, get him moving, and I think it paid off tonight.
When you look at performance, I mean, TJ Gibbs came out just playing really, really solid. He was a huge key because these guys are dangerous. They scored over 100 points 3 times.
No question.
And you never want them. And I thought they came out after a disappointing performance in their league championship game. And, and Coach Bray talked about it in a pregame. Until you've been in a mid-major and had to been in that situation where he was, where you win the regular season, but now you've got to win the tournament or you don't get the bid, how tough that is. I thought they came out and played hard and played fairly well.
No, no question. You make a good point about them winning the regular season and showing up short in the conference championship. I've been in that situation at another institution, and I totally get what that's a lot. And they have a lot of good guys. They have a lot of guys back for next year. They only have one senior on their team, and they're going to be a team to watch in their league. They came out with a lot of fire. And the way they play, you never know, because they want to speed the game up, play with a lot of possessions. They have a really good all-league guard in Jermaine Merrill.
And ironically, they're leaving their lead. They're leaving the MEAC to go to
South. That's right.
Are they ready for a higher level of competition?
Yeah, I think it'll be a good year for them because they have everybody coming back. You know, losing one senior and having an all-league guard and some good pieces. The way they play, I hope, you know, I wish them well in their new adventure to the Big South.
Had some fun moments in this game. You had back-to-back buckets from your walk-ons. You got the crowd fired up. And certainly, Jogo had an attempt dunk on the fast break and saw some pretty funny things being said, perhaps, in that timeout afterwards. Anything you can share with us from the front lines?
I think, you know, Nick, they always give Nick a hard time because he is just one of a kind. He has a great personality. And, you know, our guys were just really on him about missing dunks. We always do that. Even when we're doing layup lines in practice, guys miss dunks, we're always on him. But to have Matt Gregory and Liam out there, you know, they work just as hard as our guys. They're always there to get guys extra reps. And they're actually playing pickup with the coaches. And today we actually played, and they were fabulous. So I'm not surprised by their 2 points today.
Some of the comments of Ryan Ayers, Notre Dame assistant coach, following the Irish beating Hampton 84-63 again Saturday at noon right here on WSBT. More Irish basketball as they try to get to Madison Square Garden. They need two more victories to get there, and they will take on the winner of Penn State and Temple. And I believe that 4-5 matchup is tonight in Happy Valley.
It is.
Okay, so we'll see who the Irish will take on. Hopefully it's Penn State. They played well late in the year, and they beat Ohio State 3 times.
Penn State has never played in South Bend in basketball.
Really?
I think this would be the 5th meeting. One was a road game, one was an NCAA game in Iowa, and 2 were NIT games. So this is the 3rd straight NIT game. The other 2 were in Madison Square Garden.
Hard to believe they've never played here.
Never played in South Bend.
They've been here for football. They've been here for hockey. But a first time for
probably
men's
for women's basketball, I would think, too.
And the old Irish player, Coquise Washington, is the head coach of the women's program. So I don't know if Muffet likes to play assistants. There's a chance she could play Coach McGuff, Kevin McGuff in Ohio State down the line in the NCAA tournament this year. You have a little bit of a story. You used to be the beat reporter for Fighting Irish Basketball when Tom Noy was just a little guy. You were the beat reporter.
When Tom Noy was a child?
That's right. What you're saying? 21 years ago, 1997, you were covering Notre Dame in the NIT, and they had a very interesting road. It maybe was not as interesting then, but looking back now, there's some interesting little nuggets from that run.
Well, it was a big deal for them because they were fairly new to the Big East still, and it was the first time they had made a postseason as a Big East team. Pat Garrity, as a junior, won Big East Player of the Year. They opened with Oral Roberts, coached by
my guy
Bill Self. And then in the next round, they played a TCU team at home and coached by Billy Tubbs.
How about that?
And then another big name came in, Michigan, with Steve Fisher. It was his last complete year, I believe, with the Wolverines before they pushed him out. But that Michigan team won by a point in the Joy Center. They ended up winning the whole NIT and then having to vacate it later because of NCAA violations. But they won the whole thing that year, and that was a great game. It really was. A 1-point victory for Michigan.
William Self went Oral Roberts to Tulsa to Illinois, and now he's just won a few games at Kansas, including that unbelievable comeback late in the game to take down Johnny Calipari in Memphis in the title game.
Do you remember who Notre Dame's point guard was that year? Admore White, a guy that he made a lot of turnovers, but he got a lot better as the year went on. But Doug Gottlieb had transferred because he got in trouble, and so it was Admore's job.
Admore. All right.
Admore
very good.
White.
21 years ago covering the NIT, and you're going to do it again Saturday.
I'm going to do it again Saturday. Tom Noy is going to be covering Riley in the Indiana High School basketball tournament. They're getting close to playing for state championship. Not quite yet.
Semi-state against Carmel.
And so he is going to cover that, and I will be covering men's basketball.
So Mike Bray, beware. Beware. The iron fist is coming to the press conference.
Beware, I will ask about injuries.
You're the injury king, yes. As Brian Kelly would mention. All right, 549, Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchard with you, Sports Beat on 96.1 WSBT. You know, that game will get over about 2:30. You'll write probably from press row, I would assume.
I would think.
So let's say you get done
unless
at 3. You get done at 3. If you wait 5 more hours, you could just come to the hockey game at 8 o'clock. You could go to sleep in my booth and watch the game with me at 8 o'clock. I'm just offering.
Well, maybe I will. We had my grandkids Saturday night, so we'll
We had a terrific meal last Saturday. We had chicken fried steak and mashed potato. I mean, it's a delicious meal.
So is the meal the lure, or is it the hockey, the thrill of 1 versus 2?
I'm not an idiot. I got to bring the food to the table for you because you're not a big hockey fan, and it's your alma mater that's here.
Somebody asked me about gambling advice in the chat today, and I said, you know, there's a casino 5 minutes from my house, and the only thing I've checked out there is the buffet.
Oh, let's be honest. Let's be honest. How many times have you been there?
Nine times.
Actually, just once.
All right. Very good. All right. My 5 question of the day. It's hockey related next. Perfect. We'll let you answer it then. Eric and Darren with you. Sports Beat on WSBT brought to you by Budweiser.
1 question, 5 answers. This is the My 5 question of the day on Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
It's an all-audio My 5 question of the day. The 5 storylines for this Saturday's Big Ten Hockey Tournament title game between Notre Dame and Ohio State, which you can hear on Z94.3 at 8 p.m. And maybe Eric will be my intermission guest if he's there live. Who knows what the craziness we could get into. But we're going to allow the participants to give the answers to today's My 5 question of the day. And storyline number 5, Notre Dame captain Jake Evans on the chance of winning a Big Ten tournament title.
Yeah, for me, it's just, it's also my last game here too, so definitely want to go out on a high note. And obviously winning the regular season championship was special, but winning the whole league championship would be just extra special, and it's been my goal here ever since I came here to bring back a championship, so that's definitely what's going to be in the back of my head, and I think it's going to be in the back of everyone's heads to bring something special back to the fans who have been so great to us for my 4 years, and especially this year. They've been amazing, so that's definitely what we'll be thinking about.
No question. Fan support, unbelievable this year. Answer number 4, we go to Irish head coach Jeff Jackson. His thoughts on the Ohio State University, who's ranked number 5 in the country.
First of all, they're very good defensively. They don't give up a lot. They don't give up a lot of odd man rushes. Their penalty kills top in the country. So it's a challenge. You know, it's going to be challenging to generate offense against them. You just have to play a patient game.
If Urban and Brian do the shootouts in the intermission, would you come? Just for that? All right, we'll see if we can work on that. My 5 question of the day, top 5 storylines for the Big Ten Hockey Tournament title game, Notre Dame-Ohio State on Saturday. Answer number 3, we go back to Jake Evans. How important it was to beat Penn State last Saturday, which avoids a long layoff for this team before the NCAA tournament.
I think, for one, it was just get not our confidence back fully, but I think we were a little down after our loss to Michigan State. So getting that win back and getting sort of our swagger back was huge for us. And then also just it was nice to have the 1 week off just to heal some bruises.
Now we go to answer number 2. It's Fighting Irish head coach Jeff Jackson on trying to win a second title on home ice. They wrapped up the regular season crown at home a couple of weeks ago.
You know, and we earned the opportunity to play in this championship game by winning last Saturday. You know, we're going to have to earn one more in order to win a championship here, and it would be great, you know, especially in our building with our fans. And you know, it was like that for the league. I thought it was like that last Saturday. Yeah.
And finally, the top storyline, Notre Dame at Ohio State in the Big Ten Hockey Tournament title game Saturday at the Compton Family Ice Arena. For both teams, they may be number 1 seeds in the NCAA tournament, so this is all about winning some hardware. Here's Irish head coach Jeff Jackson.
For us, that's the only thing that matters. I told him last Saturday it was a championship game, because if you don't win it, then you're done as far as the Big Ten goes. So, you know, we won, and now we're putting ourselves in position to win a championship game. So it's just a matter of, staying focused on, you know, that game right now. You know, and I think we've probably had a pretty good sense that we were going to be in the NCAA tournament for over a month now. So That's worn off a little bit, and maybe we can just focus on this game as an opportunity to win a trophy.
Rings and banners. Gotta love it. That's the first ever all-audio My 5 Question of the Day. Eric will tell you what's coming up in the Tribune next on WSBT.
Here's Eric Hansen with what's coming up in tomorrow's South Bend Tribune Sports.
Well, the chat transcript, the best of and worst of, will be in the paper tomorrow. Tom will have a column from last night's washout victory over Hampton in the NIT. Anthony has the latest on Notre Dame women's basketball, including the incredibly weird line, you can't spell miracle without ACL, which was on ESPN. We have Dowagiac boys and regional finals, boys basketball, and much, much more.
Eric, I'll see you on Monday. Enjoy the tournament. The NIT coverage from Eric on Saturday at IndyInsider.com and in Sunday's paper. Let's join CBS Sports in Progress for an update, then more Sports Beat next on WSBT South Bend. You'll hear that theme in just about 24 minutes here on WSBT Radio. Sports Beat will be done at 6:30 to join Westwood One in coverage of the 2018 NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. The final night of the first four in Dayton, Ohio. And tonight, the 6:40 matchup, 16 seeds North Carolina Central and Texas Southern will square off. And at 9:10, it'll be Syracuse and Arizona State in a matchup of teams that could both be out and Notre Dame could be in.
Yeah.
Just didn't work out that way for Mike Bray's team. Along with Sean Stiers, I'm Darren Pritchett, Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, College Basketball Insider. His thoughts on the Irish missing the tournament, ACC teams, Big Ten teams in the tournament. He'll offer his analysis coming up in about 12 minutes, but right now, let's spend a couple of moments on the NIT last night. Sean, as Notre Dame beat Hampton 84-63. The Irish are 21-14, and they took control of the game in the third quarter, outscoring the Pirates 20-9.
Yeah, and they shot pretty well in the first half, and they had it. It was like a 17-point lead once, a 19-point lead. Then all of a sudden, you look up, and it's a 12-point game again. But I think Mike Bray did a really good job of kind of rotating guys in and out. And there, I think the kind of ebb and flow came with some of the substitutions because you had Bonzi Colson and Martin Gebben on the bench at the same time. And those two guys, I mean, Gebben had a really efficient game last night. 7 of 9 overall from the floor, 4 of 4 at the free throw line, 18 points in just 21 minutes. And I think the thing you kind of look, I wasn't necessarily thinking about it at the time, but then kind of reflecting and hearing some of Mike Bray's comments afterwards, that wider lane and the 3-point line, there was more room for guys to cut, and you saw some of that with the passing. And one of the comments that Matt Farrell made after the game was the fact that they didn't get stagnant with the ball. They kept moving the ball around quite a bit. Yep. Yeah, and it led to a lot of those cuts and some easy looks and just the space in the lane. So it was a little bit of a sleepy night over there with just 2,100 fans. But the one thing that I did notice, even though there were only 2,100 over there, I think it seemed fairly obvious that a lot of the fans, because of the $10 admission and it was general admission, you did see a lot of fans closer to the floor mm-hmm. who probably weren't used to being over there. And so, you know, that's a good thing for the fans. And as long as Notre Dame is in this thing, in the NIT, before they get to Madison Square Garden, they'd get to host all these games, starting with Saturday at noon, and it's going to be the same thing. $10 to get in, and you get to sit anywhere you want, first come, first serve. So it's a pretty good deal to get over there, especially if you haven't had some of those opportunities to be down there close like that. For just $10, you can't beat it.
And you're going to get a pretty good opponent on Saturday, either Penn State or Temple. Again, Penn State beat Ohio State 3 times this year, and Ohio State, what, a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. So the Lions came on strong late in the year.
Yep.
So one of the interesting storylines, Bonzi Colson, 14 points, 12 rebounds. He's playing. A USC player decided to skip the NIT to focus on the NBA draft.
And that was interesting, and they probably could have used him last night because they needed double overtime to beat UNC Asheville. I think his name is you pronounce it. I think it's Chimezie Metu. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he decided he was going to sit out, and he's a guy averaging almost 16 points and over just about seven and a half rebounds. He leads the team in both of those categories, and he decided he's going to sit. And so it's interesting. You've got a guy like Bonzi who sat out for 2 months. These games obviously don't mean anything because it is the NIT, but there he is out there, and he's still playing with his team right now. And it's like, well, what else would I be doing? You know, he's out there playing and enjoying it.
And you went to the game last night, and you were part of the media scrum around Bonzi Colson, and that subject was brought up to him, and you'll hear it during this soundbite. So give a listen to some of the comments of Irish senior Bonzi Colson following the win over Hampton last night in the first round of the NIT.
You know, yesterday in practice, you guys had everything in perspective and back to normal. Did you feel you were in the normal flow from the outset tonight?
Yeah, I thought we were in a good flow on both sides of the floor. I thought, we defended really well today, which kind of really helps us in the offensive end, and I think we're going to need that to carry us as we play each game. And heck of a win for us. Everybody contributed. Everybody came off the bench, staying in character, staying in the role, and that's all you can ask for. So good win by us, and we just need to keep plugging and keep, you know, locking in on both sides of the floor. And stay focused.
Did you head to the locker room after the end of the first quarter?
I did. Just forgot a little bit, you know, that we had four quarters, you know, I'm still getting used to, obviously. Yeah, and gotcha. I did do that, though. It was a funny moment.
Do you like that? It seems like, I mean, the timeouts are certainly longer.
Yeah. I mean, the timeouts, I think, benefits all of us, both teams. And I think, help us, you know, get our breath back and helps us talk as a team what's going on. And I think, why not? Why not have timeouts longer, where you can discuss what's going on the team? And I think it's good for us. Now, that's one rule that I kind of like.
I mean, I know you said you want to play, and it's obvious that you guys do. But with less at stake, did it just feel different to you when the game started?
No, I mean, we have our fans were there, and, you know, we played well on both sides of the floor. We knew that, no matter where we're at, we still got to play our game. No matter if the NIT or the tournament, we still got to play our game. We still got to play with nothing to lose. We still got to stay in character, and that's something we did. And, we're chasing championships, you know, game by game, and I think we're all locked in on that department of plugging in and understanding what's at stake here. And I think that's important as a group to lock in, continue to stay plugged in and focused, because we understand what we're chasing.
The championship, is that the motivation then for this team right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think just the opportunity to continue playing as a group. I think this is something, playing is something that, you can't take for granted. So having the ability to play again and continue to just, enjoy, college basketball more, no matter where we're playing, but enjoy the locker room, enjoy the team meals. I think for us to keep playing like this and enjoying the process of getting better and just playing as a unit, it's great. We've been through a lot of ups and downs, so playing as a group and is definitely something that, kind of edges us a little bit. We love each other too. We play for each other. I think that's important.
Is that kind of the personal motivation for you a little different since you were out for so long?
A little bit. I mean, obviously, I miss a lot of the season. So me continue to playing is obviously important because I want to play the game. Once college basketball ends for me, I'm going to miss it a lot. And I think that's something a lot of the former players mentioned to me. This is something you're going to miss. So that's something that we want to keep plugging in and keep playing. And, I'm still playing. I'm still getting the rhythm. And I think it's important for all of us to continue to play.
How are you holding up just as far as the foot and everything?
No, I mean, my foot's fine. I mean, it's a titanium screw in there. That's not the issue. And I'm feeling good. I mean, the foot's healed. And just continue to play my game both sides of the floor.
What'd you think of the expanded lane and the three-point line?
Yeah, I mean, the expanded lane is a little different, especially at the free throw line. It's like, you kind of push back, and then posting up is, different for us because we're kind of far away from the basket. And something that we got used to over the past couple of days. And I think we adjusted to them well. I think three is something that's a little different for all of us, shooting that deep. And I think we have to get into a better rhythm there. But I think as a unit, we're still plugging in. We're still playing hard, and we're playing with nothing loose.
So some of the comments of Bonzi Colson after last night's victory over Hampton, 84-63. And the Irish will play Saturday at noon here on WSBT Radio against the winner of tonight's game between Penn State and Temple. Well, they looked motivated last night.
Yeah, they did. And that's something that I was kind of keeping an eye on early as well, especially because you don't have as many people as usual, and you are obviously in the NIT, and they seemed like they came out, they looked like they were having fun out there, they were loose, and they played a pretty solid basketball game all the way around.
We'll take a timeout. Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, joins us next on WSBT. Sports Beat at 6:19. Sean and I, earlier this week, had the chance to talk to Gary Parrish, CBS Sports College Basketball Insider, also from 92.9 in Memphis. And the first question we asked, were you surprised Notre Dame did not make the NCAA tournament?
I actually do, and I hate to say that because I'm a big fan of Mike and what he's been able to do with that program, but I did not think Notre Dame was going to get in, and the reason is because I had listened to Bruce Rasmussen, the committee chair, talk enough and then actually had conversations with him in studio leading up to Selection Sunday, and he was hammering home the point that Notre Dame lost with Bonzi Colson to Ball State in Indiana. His point being, you can't assume they wouldn't have taken some of those losses in the ACC schedule with Bonzi because when they did have Bonzi, they were still vulnerable to inferior teams. Obviously, Matt's absence complicates things as well. But long story not so long, I did not expect to see the Irish in the bracket. Now, if you were doing it a different way, if you were just saying, here's our 32 automatic bids, now give me the 36 best teams in America right now, Notre Dame's in that easily. But it is a body of work issue, and the body of work wasn't there.
And I get that line of thinking, but as we've talked about on our show, Gary, I mean, Villanova, Duke, North Carolina, you can go down the line of teams with much higher seeds. They had bad losses early, too, and were able to overcome it. Was there just sort of too much on Bonzi in this whole process for the committee?
I think that the committee, like if Notre Dame would have went, I don't know, just avoided those bad losses early with Bonzi Colson, I think they're able to present their case to the committee in an entirely different way. They're able to say, look, here's what we were with Bonzi Colson. Here's what we were without Bonzi Colson. We have Bonzi Colson now. Judge us on that. But the issue becomes, when you lose to Ball State in Indiana with Bonzi Colson, the committee pushes back a little bit. Like I said, if the goal was to just simply get the best teams in the tournament, Notre Dame should have been in that. Mike's got one of the best teams in America, but they really focus on best bodies of work, best resumes, and that's where the Fighting Irish just came up, I think, a little short. And, like, obviously just barely short because on Sunday morning they were actually in the field.
CBS Sports Insider Gary Parrish joining us here on WSBT Radio. Gary, since you got the bracket now in front of you, you see all the teams from the ACC. Nine are represented. Virginia is the number one overall seed in the tournament, but are they the most dangerous ACC team in the field?
I don't think so. I think Duke's still the most dangerous ACC team in the field. Obviously, Virginia's great. I mean, to only have two losses after playing an ACC schedule, only one of which came to an ACC team, is remarkable. Regular season champs, tournament champs. But Duke, it was the preseason number one team in America for a reason. And that reason is because they've got pros literally at every position. And they've got the guy who I think is the best college basketball player in America. That's Marvin Bagley. They've got the GOAT of college coaching on the sideline. And so everything's there for greatness. I know that they've had their bumps losing to St. John's, losing at Boston College. But the truth is, right now, they are the only team in America that ranks in the top seven of both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. And when you have those types of numbers beside your name, plus the roster they have, plus the coach they have, I think they should be the favorite to win the national championship.
Well, you might have just answered my question then. I don't know. Everyone's talking about the South and Virginia and their path to get out into the Final Four. Between Virginia and Kansas, then, do you think Kansas is the number one seed with the toughest path, or how do you kind of look at that?
I think that, you know, I never really get concerned about whether you have a tough 8-9 matchup or, you know, a tough round of 32, because you're supposed to win those if you're a one seed no matter what. To me, the toughest path is always, do you have a team that's probably better than you, that's seeded lower than you in your own region? And I think that is true with Kansas. I, to be clear, Kansas deserved the one seed. Duke deserved the two seed, but I think Duke's better than Kansas. And so, and the computers, basically all of them back me up on that. I'll put it to you this way. If Duke and Kansas play on a neutral court in the Elite Eight, even though Kansas is the one seed and Duke's the two, Las Vegas oddsmakers, they'll make Duke the favorite in that game. Virginia, you know, having to get through a Cincinnati team that's good, clearly, that's how they got the two seed, but
Cincinnati's not going to overwhelm you with talent. Duke can overwhelm you with talent. I think Kansas's regional is much more difficult than Virginia's.
Gary, even though this is the home of the Fighting Irish, a lot of Purdue Boilermaker fans in northern Indiana. They haven't been to the Final Four since 1979. Matt Painter has not led the Boilermakers past the Sweet 16 so far in his tenure. They had that long winning streak just a few weeks ago. A little uneasy coming down the stretch. How do you like the Boilermakers' chances to make a run to the Final Four this year?
They've got as good a chance as just about anybody. I mean, that's a team that really, outside of the battle for Atlantis, or I should say after the battle for Atlantis, was pretty rock solid with very few exceptions. You know, they deserve the seat that they got. I actually think, I keep saying that, I should probably say this, I think the committee did a good job, you know, with getting the teams. And I wouldn't have had Syracuse in. I might have had Notre Dame in instead of Syracuse. I think Notre Dame deserved to be in before Syracuse, but I think they mostly got the teams right, and the seeding is pretty on point as well. Purdue deserves that 2 seed. I mean, I'll be honest, I've got them losing to Villanova in the Elite Eight, but if the question is, can they beat Villanova if they play Villanova and go to the Final Four? The answer is absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, we spend so much time talking about paths and this is a difficult path. More often than not, the path that seems to be in front of somebody isn't what the NCAA tournament actually provides. In other words, I remember last year in the East, everybody was looking forward to that Villanova-Duke regional final at Madison Square Garden. It ended up being Florida against South Carolina. So we don't often get these things right. But listen, I'm a big fan of Matt Painter, a big fan of this team. And if they are in the Final Four or even winning a national championship, crazier things have happened.
What about Michigan State? Because I sit there and look at them. They won 13 of their last 14 games. They beat a 2 seed in Purdue. They beat another 2 seed in North Carolina. Why do you think the Spartans are so undervalued? I mean, they're a 3 seed, but why do you think they're relatively undervalued?
Because they played in the Big Ten, and they weren't able to get enough quality wins to pad that resume. Like, people could disagree on the selection committee's criteria. In fact, I disagree with parts of it, specifically the part where they say what you do in November matters just as much as what you do in March. In other words, Oklahoma's win against Wichita State registers with the committee, even though it became a million years ago, and back when Oklahoma was clearly a different basketball team, it registers with the committee just as much as it would if it happened last Saturday night. I think that's a flaw in the way that they do things. Oklahoma's not a good basketball team right now. I suspect you'll see that as soon as they get on the court with Rhode Island. But as it relates to Michigan State, again, the committee hammers home these points and they stick with them. We want to know what your quadrant one looks like. We want to know what your quadrant two looks like. And Michigan State just didn't have very many wins. But I wouldn't be I wouldn't pay too much attention to that 3 beside their name. I think Michigan State is a real Final Four contender. I think there's that is the toughest regional, the Midwest, because you've got 3 teams mm-hmm. that could reasonably be picked yep. to win the national championship, and yet only one of them is going to advance to the Final Four. Those 3 teams, of course, are Duke, Michigan State, and Kansas.
Gary, my final question centers around the Big Ten in general, but Michigan kind of filtered into this question. Do you have any concerns with Michigan playing so well down the stretch that the Big Ten tournament was a week early, that could affect the Big Ten teams with the layoff?
You know, we'll see. You know, if Michigan or Michigan State or Purdue goes down early, the people will point to that.
Yeah.
And then if one of them goes to the Final Four, they'll say, see, it doesn't matter. I tend to think it just does not matter. Like, somebody's going to advance, somebody's not going to advance, and it won't have anything to do in either direction with when the Big Ten tournament was played. I guess I'd point this out. Gonzaga, you know, finished its league tournament a week early last year as well, because it does every year, and they played for the national championship. The reason we don't usually get teams in the Final Four who have a week off before the NCAA tournament isn't because they have a week off before the NCAA tournament. It's because those teams come from mostly mm-hmm. mid-major leagues, and they're not built to go to a Final Four. I don't think it'll have any impact whatsoever.
Gary, what's the double-digit seed you think has the chance to make the most noise?
New Mexico State, they're a 12 seed in that Midwest regional, and the reason is because their likely path involves Clemson and Auburn, and those are two teams that have had wonderful years, but they're also two teams that are missing key players. Clemson no longer has Dante Grantham. Auburn no longer has Anthony McLemore. And so you're talking about a Clemson team that's not what it was, an Auburn team that's not what it was, and I could reasonably see New Mexico State taking advantage of that and advance into the Sweet 16 to play Kansas.
Gary, thank you so much for your time today. Greatly appreciate it. Enjoy the tournament.
My pleasure. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Gary Parrish, CBS Sports, College Basketball Insider, and radio talk show host, 92.9 in Memphis. He was busy today. Tubby Smith, let go by Memphis after 2 years with the Tigers, maybe opening the door for an alum to take over as head coach, Penny Hardaway. Thanks to Gary Parrish for joining us to talk some college basketball. Well, Sports Beat tonight was brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. We are done for tonight because coverage of the NCAA tournament continues on 96.1 WSBT. It's first four action from Dayton. The Westwood One lineup tonight at 6:40, North Carolina Central versus Texas Southern. And then at 9:10, Syracuse versus Arizona State. Sports Beat. We will not have shows Thursday and Friday due to the tournament. We'll be back Monday at 5 o'clock. Enjoy your college basketball week and weekend. For Sean, I'm Darren. It is 6:30, and here comes Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA tournament on WS.